And welcome to the new issue of the Nerd Dump. I'm Steven, also known as Honey, and I just found out where all the blood in our blood fountain came from. It's llamas. Llamas. We use llamas. And coincidentally, we're running low on llama blood. So Cody, one of the hosts, is out getting more llamas for our llama blood. But we just happened to kidnap his wife, and she's here with us. Her name is Brenda. Welcome her. Hey, Brenda, how are you?
I'm Brenda, and I used to be an adventurer like you, but then I took an arrow in the knee.
And then we also have Cameron here.
I have nothing else to say other than props to the several-year-old Skyrim reference. Well done.
That's my life.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's awesome. Also love the fact that you totally did not just read that scripted off of your phone.
I didn't make sure I said it the right way. Wouldn't do anything like that.
No, that's valid. We definitely strive for accuracy on the show.
I don't. I never strive for accuracy.
Yeah, I'm really good with dates. We have talked about that. I think we can move on.
Can we?
No.
Can
we move on? No, we can't. No. We will never move on.
But speaking of moving on, what are we going to talk about tonight, Cameron?
Well, we are going to talk about the main meat, so to speak, of the show is going to be strong female characters. We've each picked a few from various genres and things that we like and things that we assume that you listeners would like as well. So we're going to be talking about that. To go back to dates, oddly enough, before we get started, do want to talk about some nerd news that's come up recently. Marvel and Netflix has announced their dates for the Defenders television series. It is going to be premiering this year, August 18th in 2017. That is a real date. I did make sure. I did fact check myself before we announced that.
Woo!
Woo! I didn't verify that, but I'm sure it's close.
I trust him.
That's good to know. So that will be exciting. Eventually, I will probably watch that. I am, as I've said before, behind on pretty much every Netflix series that's come out so far.
Yeah, I stay pretty accurate on them.
Which is awesome because you don't even really care for those characters.
Netflix does them pretty good, though.
Yeah, Netflix is good. I like this stuff. I don't know the background stories for any of them. Which is probably why I usually enjoy them. Because I don't know the background story, so I don't know what they're messing up. Other than a few random things here and there. But yeah, whatever.
Well, that's good.
Well, I think some have strengths and weaknesses, too. Where, like, Daredevil was really neat because it was kind of unique. But Iron Fist, I feel like, struggles a little bit because there's already, like, the Arrow and kind of the Batman, you know, these already strong, super rich heroes coming in.
I mean, I liked it well enough. I didn't care as much for the, I'm a martial artist and let me do one initial opening training thing the entire time. And not even well. He didn't even do it well. But
he does walk around barefoot.
That's fine. Most modern martial artists wear shoes.
He's not called Iron Foot, he's called Iron Fist.
Fine.
But Neil props to him anyway. So cool. Well, he will be reuniting with uniting with former characters of Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, and I believe Elektra and the Punisher will be showing up in the series as well.
That's cool.
So if not, I know Punisher's going to be debuting in his own series.
Which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Nothing like mass violence.
Yeah, you've mentioned that once or twice before.
I do like violence.
That's okay.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, I might lie a little here and there, but I do like violence.
Violence and dishonesty. That is Honey in two words.
Fair enough.
If we ignore and.
Everybody ignores and.
Yeah. I was saying it in my head as an ampersand, so it's really not a word anymore. But moving along, in addition to the Defenders, Marvel has actually announced that Freeform, formerly ABC Family, is going to be debuting a New Warriors television series.
Okay, I know nothing about this.
New Warriors are basically Young Avengers before there was a Young Avengers. They were a team of sort of the younger superheroes that really had no other place, and they just kind of formed a team.
So are they like known superheroes? I mean, I'm sure anyone that has a background in this already knows them, but I mean, somebody like me that doesn't read a lot of the mainstream comics and other stuff, would I know any of them?
Possibly. There are a few. I mean, there have been a few different incarnations, and almost every version of the team has had maybe one or two of the same characters, but a different lineup almost every time. Probably the most notable character would be the original Nova.
Oh, okay.
Richard Rider. He was a long-standing member of the team.
That's cool.
And then recently, and I don't believe she was actually a member of the team, but they announced that Swirl Girl is going to make her live-action appearance in the New Warrior. She's going to be, I believe she's going to be headlining the series.
Well, so. I'm going to watch the show now.
Squirrel
Girl's enough for me to watch it.
I don't believe they have cast her, but Squirrel Girl is popular enough that Marvel could pretty much say, we're going to debut whatever TV show we want, and Squirrel Girl's going to be in it, and the internet would explode.
Yeah, I'd watch it. Put Squirrel Girl on anything, and I'll watch it.
I was just curious, because I believe Anna Kendrick from, like, movies has made an interest in being a Squirrel Girl, but movie. So I was like, oh, I wonder if...
That would be
they
cool.
They tried to cast her, like she'd go for a
She's
series.
She's a good actress.
She is a very good actress. I wonder if she would. I mean, they show Pitch Perfect enough on Freeform.
Maybe.
You know, they could probably convince her to do so. I don't think that's how television works.
Probably not.
But why? You know, we can dream. And they could do a musical episode because she's got the pipes for it.
Drew, get prepared.
Absolutely. I would totally be down for that. So, yeah, Squirrel Girl is going to be on TV. I don't know when that is slated to appear. It's going direct to series, so they're not doing the whole pilot testing thing. So it could debut as early as next year, which would be very cool.
Any concerns about it being on Freeform?
Not really. I don't watch any of their original programming, Pretty Little Liars or any of that, but I hear a lot of those shows are pretty good.
I don't know. I don't watch any of those shows.
I've got my concerns, but...
Any in particular?
Shadowhunters is awful, and I've read the books. It's bad.
Yeah, I have seen a few minutes of it.
Yes. The movie, honestly, was really... They've done a movie on it. It was not good. They went too far from the book. The series goes really good towards the book, but the casting just wasn't there.
Lack of acting?
A little bit.
They did the CW thing. They went with pretty people, but not very good. Not very much talent.
And the main character is, Reddit. It's really bad dye job. Really bad. It just doesn't work. But it's a really interesting series, and I do recommend people read it. It's a really... they've gone further, but the original trilogy is really well written.
Okay. And is it the... Are the books called Shadowhunters, or is it Mortal Instruments?
The Mortal Instruments is the series.
Oh, but that's the same thing. I've never watched any of the movies or read the books, but I didn't know it had anything to do with each other.
The writer of The Mortal Instruments was actually a fan fiction writer of Harry Potter. So there's some big themes that follow some Harry Potter. A lot of the main guy character, Jace, is very similar to Malfoy from Harry Potter.
Okay.
So kind of taking
a little ripping off. Okay, cool.
But she does make it enough of her own, but you can see the
direct correlation.
There's some ties there.
Well, that's cool. I mean, there are so few like truly original ideas that everything is sort of taking off of something else and something else.
But everything mimics everything else. It just happens.
But as long as you have a unique bit to it, I mean, taking an idea like Harry Potter but throwing it in some of the darker characters as your leads, totally novel concept. So speaking of television. And this is going to kind of segue into our main topic. Last month, March, was the, and I hate saying this because it makes me feel super old, but it was the 20th anniversary of the television series Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Not 20th anniversary of the character, because the movie came out a few years before, but the first season of the series actually premiered March of 1997.
Hooray!
When I was in high school. So,
I would have been pretty young, and I remember it still. Because I did watch. I remember watching it. I was probably too young.
I did not watch it. I mean, I remember it being out, but never got into it.
That's right. I remember wanting to watch it really bad, but we, in the lonely city of Topeka, did not have the WB network at the time. I don't think we got it until season 4 aired, so I had to either watch it at my aunt's who had satellite, or I would buy the VHS tapes for like $10 a pop and got two episodes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
My family, we grew up with a big satellite dish, so we got the WB. So that was awesome. We got to watch. I remember starting to watch, you know, Buffy. Then you got Angel, the spinoff, Charmed when that came out. Of course, nobody at school had ever seen any of them, so they're like, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Charmed? Does that have anything to do with Buffy's world?
No.
Oh,
okay. It was just another big.
I've actually seen that
when I was younger.
Yeah. Same genre,
Supernatural. Because,
yeah, which is in magic, but different universe. Although that would be a cool crossover.
That would be an interesting one.
I would
one.
Be very down.
They
to,
talked about
to
rebooting
that.
Charmed too, so.
I don't want them to do that. I like Charmed. I think it should leave it alone.
Well, that never seems to work out. But no. you never know. It could happen.
Well, they could go with the original three again, because Prue was kind of killed off due to. Casting conflicts. So
yeah, I believe she had a tendency to leave every show that she was on, I think, at one point.
Yeah, so they could take it further with the original three, which was kind of the idea behind it. Yeah, but
that could be cool. We will see. Like I said earlier, there are no original ideas, so rebooting pretty much anything could happen.
Yep.
But as I was saying, last month, 20th anniversary of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Who, if you're not familiar with the show, she was, the concept was there was one girl in all the world who was called upon to protect the innocent from vampires and demons and pretty much anything that could or would go bump in the night. And one of the big things about Buffy, and this will lead into our main topic, is that it really broke new ground in, representing, strong female characters, which, it's something, you know, that has existed, of course, in literature and films and television for a really long time, but it wasn't always a staple of the kinds of genre that, you know, we're accustomed to, you know, with
your standard sci-fi action adventure. Usually you're led by some guy.
Or protected by.
Or they're protected by a guy, or there's, various different outcomes to how things can happen like that. But yeah, just having a strong female that led the way, did everything on their own. Yeah.
Very much so. And what was cool about Buffy is that it not only represented strong female characters, not just in Buffy, but her sidekicks, Willow, Cordelia, were both very different characters and very much held their own while not really falling into stereotypes. And then they also use the sort of monster of the week formula by having different demons and bad guys representing actual social issues that were, you know, conceived of as something that, you know, teenagers or, you know, high schoolers would face, which was a really novel concept at the time. And we've definitely seen that a lot in the years since then. But, you know, back in late 90s, there wasn't a whole lot like that. We didn't have, you know, comic book movies coming out every other month, and there weren't a lot of genre television series, so Buffy was really huge in, like I say, in that kind of genre and sort of leading the way for, you know, women characters who could seriously kick some butt.
Huh. They were strong in their own right. Like, you could have cast it as a man. It was still written in such a way that the character was just strong.
Definitely.
You got Willow. Super strong, awesome witch, brings something to the table. What was it, Clara, one of the big bad guys of one of the later seasons? The actress was at a Comic-Con a couple years ago.
I think her ear really is Clara. But Glory, I believe.
There we go. Because that, they were just strong in what they did. They just went with it. And they weren't, I don't know, sometimes you feel like it's like, oh, we're trying to play towards a female audience to bring them in. Let's make them look, let's bring in the female audience by making them strong. But it was just good. It was just good TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well-written characters. It wasn't, I don't think they were trying to do necessarily something different, but just the fact that they did made it a much bigger thing than I think anyone really anticipated. And that's where a lot of these characters seem to come from, is that kind of place where they're not trying to make a point or break new ground. It just kind of happens, and that I think that works out really well. Who did you have as far as your kind of your subjects?
Are we on to the subject of who our strong female characters are now?
I think we are.
Okay, well, I guess then I will go first, and I'm going to speak about somebody who's already been spoken about in this podcast. From my comic book section, I chose Squirrel Girl. I love Squirrel Girl. I like squirrels. I like girls. And Squirrel Girl is hilarious. It's always great to watch her do any sort of anything, because it's not necessarily mischievous every time, but there is an air of that to it. And I know that I've had people point out various things that, you know, it's like, even when she beat, like, Dr. Doom and did all these other things, it was like, they're like, oh, yeah, well, there's these little things here in the comics that you notice that maybe she didn't actually do that. I'm like, no, she did this. She's amazing. You leave her alone. But she is a very strong female character that I just love to watch. And if she ends up in a live action, that'll be great. I'm all for that. My next one I chose from the movie realms. I chose Imperator Furiosa from the recent Mad Max film. Now, Charlize Theron, I think, is a great female actress and plays all sorts of strong female characters. But,
strong male characters, though.
Yeah, she doesn't play too many strong male characters. You know, she might broaden her acting career, I don't know. From the Mad Max movie, being Furiosa, I mean, she was amazing. Because not only is she a strong female character that can do all sorts of crazy stuff, she's also only got one arm. I mean, that's pretty BA, in my opinion.
Agreed.
So, she does all sorts of crazy stuff there. And then, my third choice I chose from the video game realm, I chose Cortana. Now, I know, not the person that you're playing in the game, but without her, even though Master Chief is a Spartan, he would have been pretty screwed. She got him through a lot of stuff. I love her character in the video games.
What kind of role does she play?
I mean,
for those of us who haven't played Halo,
she's your navigation. She's the person that unlocks doors for you. She does all sorts of everything. Like, yeah, Master Chief is an amazing fighter, and yeah, he's good with weapons, but there's so many different situations that he wouldn't have lived through without her. She kept him alive in different situations, even, like, basically floating throughout space for a long time by himself. She's the one that got him through everything. Without that strong female character in that game, none of it would have happened.
And could Cortana have been portrayed as any other gender, do you think? Or does she
She could have, because, I mean, what she was, being the AI there and all the different computers, like, there's different ones that were placed in different areas, and some were male, some were female. It really had nothing to do with that. But she was female, and I think it worked well, because I don't think it would have been as entertaining if it would have just been another, like, male computer talking to him or whatever. But those are my three. So who do you have, Cameron?
Well, in addition to Buffy Summers, I did want to talk a little bit about our future movie star and one of the probably oldest and most revered female superheroes in existence, and that would be Diana Prince, a.k.a. Wonder Woman, who I am presently staring at on my Dr. Pepper can.
Because we kidnapped her.
She is gorgeous.
To be fair, that's not exactly why I was staring, although,
she is
to your point, she's not too hard to look at. But no, it's obviously Dr. Pepper's tying in with Wonder Woman because the movie's coming out here in a couple months. And that's really exciting because I'm hoping that's going to be good. I'm also presently reading the comic book, which is by Greg Rucka and with art that rotates between Nicola Scott and Liam Sharp. And that book has been fantastic since the first issue came out back in June of last year. I haven't really read Wonder Woman in several years, other than just occasionally. But their take on the character has been really good. She's very much out of her element because it kind of does her origin story again and brings her into man's world. And they incorporate a lot of the kind of goofy things about her, like the Lasso of Truth. It doesn't just force people to tell the truth, but it forces people to confront their own truth, and also to be able to understand one another. Because on the Amazon island of Themyscira, they don't speak English. They have their own language, which is a hybrid of Greek and different types of languages. But the lasso actually allows people to understand her and for her to understand them. And they also incorporated her invisible jet, which is a repurposed plane that Steve Trevor, the human, well, not human, but the male character.
Humans.
Yeah, not that Amazons are not human.
They're not.
No, they're super awesome, incredibly non-human women. But no, he lands on their island and they repurpose his plane and actually use their technology to make it. Well, not technology, but their magic to make it invisible.
So how does she know where an invisible jet is?
Magic's in play.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I can say. Well, magic, but I've always been confused. Invisible jet. How do you know where it's at?
Well, in terms of the current series, they really only use it once, and they have the cockpit, or not the cockpit, but they have the doors open, so you can see up into it.
Huh.
So you can see that it's there. But as far as like old style comic book logic, I'm pretty sure they don't explain it.
Sweet.
Or if they have, I'm sure it's some long-winded explanation. Which, if anyone's listening and they know the answer, feel free to chime in on the Twitter. We are at @NerdDumpPodcast. We'll get in. We'll introduce ourselves later in terms of social media. But yeah, Wonder Woman is one of my top ones. I think she's very much. I mean, there's a reason like she has endured as a popular comic book character for so long and has been considered
one of the only female ones.
Not one of the only, but definitely one of the most noteworthy.
Originally.
You're very true. Very true. And there's a reason that she's considered one of the Trinity along with Batman and Superman, who are, you know, arguably our most popular or famous superheroes.
Not my favorite. But yeah,
She's her own. She's not a, I don't know what you call it, girl wash. You know, you got like, girl, Spider Girl. You get
Supergirl.
Thor Girl. Like, it's all very already established characters, and then you make them female. She's her own. She was established as a female, you know, just as her character.
Absolutely.
Unless you want to call her the girl version of Superman. But
nope.
she's not, though. She doesn't have all the same things. Like, that's Supergirl. This is the girl version of Superman, but the exact thing. Blah.
Yep.
His cousin.
Yeah.
Super speed or super strength and flight, you know, she can do that, Superman can do that. But I mean her whole origin being, you know, of the Greeks, of the Amazons, and you know, her use of magic totally sets her apart from a lot of those from Superman.
And even though I did not like Batman versus Superman, I still want to see her movie. She was well casted. She delivered well. I liked her. I liked her character.
Agreed. She was definitely the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
So she was pretty great, and she definitely kicked butt. So I'm definitely looking forward to her being in a much, much better movie.
Here's to hoping.
Yep.
Okay, so Brenda, who are your selections?
My three. My first one, I went with a movie. I went with, you guys talked about Disney movies, and I had to go with Mulan. Mm-hmm. Because she is strong. She did it to save her father. She fought alongside the men. She was strategic. She was strong in her own way, and she got through it really impressively. I love Mulan. Great movie, good songs, good strong character.
Agreed. Very cool.
My second one was from a TV show called The 100. I love The 100. It's one of my favorite TV shows. They aren't quite doing it justice in the current seasons, but the first couple seasons are just awesome. But it's Clark. She's the main character. I love her. She she's strong in her own way. She makes decisions, and even though they're not always correct, they can actually be really detrimental, she still does it. She pushes through, she perseveres, she doesn't let it get her down. And I love what they've done with her. I mean, to the point that I don't want to give any spoilers, because it's very easy to do with that show if you've never seen it. But I would say go watch it on Netflix and then come talk to me, because I love where the 100 goes.
And with that, what is the 100 about?
The 100 is about, it's a dystopian future where the space station, or Earth has gone over I believe it's a nuclear war, like, disaster. Mm-hmm. The space stations believe everyone is dead, and they combine, but there's some disaster going on. There's some issues on the space station, and so they send down their criminals that are teenagers, because if you do a crime and you're under the age of 18, you can potentially redeem yourself. But if you are over 18, you just get killed. But they decide to send the 100, which are criminals, down to Earth to see if they can survive in the radioactive environment.
Fun.
So
that's not an extreme version of punishment at all.
No.
Sounds kind of fun.
But it is. It's got some of those, you know, what you would expect teenagers to do. Because I believe all of them are coming of age of 18. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an interesting, what would happen if 18 teenagers get put down on Earth. But it quickly moves from just being kind of kids to there's a lot more to the story than just watching a bunch of teenagers goof off on Earth.
Yeah, I would hope so. I feel like that could, you know, that could get kind of stale after a while. But you've stuck with it for several seasons now, I think.
Yeah. But I will say, first season and second season are amazing. Third season, it kind of starts to slow down. And right now, it kind of feels like they're just missing the spark they had. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they ran out of source material. My understanding is it's about a book, and I haven't read the novels. But Clark is, I wonder if she's beautifully written, because she is just so... I'm using the word strong a lot, but she is just so independent. She's so self-sufficient. She kind of, you know, the others try to rise up and become their own. Who's going to be the leader? And she's like, oh, yeah, whoever wants to be the leader, you're the leader. But we're going to go do this because we have to survive. She just kind of ignores those social constructs and goes, cool, you can be whatever you want, but we gotta live.
We got to do what we got to do.
So she doesn't care. For my third, I decided to go with a book, which I don't know if you guys do a lot of reading.
I have heard of books.
They exist.
I read them.
Yep.
And they're wonderful. I love to read.
They have pictures, right?
Not the ones I read. But Graceling by Kristen Cashore is one of my favorites. She, main character's name is Katza. She's graced, and what that means is she's got two different colored eyes, and she has a special ability. Mm-hmm. Hers is fighting, and she makes mistakes too. She's kind of wild because of her grace of fighting, but she also, the king kind of controls her, and she does whatever she can to kind of fight that. He wants to use her as the bully to threaten people with death. And she misinterprets his orders on purpose and intentionally, and she does whatever she can to treat people the way that she feels they should be treated for some of their crimes, as the king considers it. And mm-hmm. I love that novel, and then there's a follow-up called Fire. They're both really well-written, some of my favorites. She's got a third to the companions, Bitter Blue, and it's okay, but I think I just fell in love with the original of Graceling.
Okay, so we've talked about our different favorite female characters. Now, what is it that makes a good, strong female character? And I know, Brenda, you talked a little bit about them when you were describing some of them, but what are good traits, what are good characteristics, what makes a good, strong female character?
I would say a number of things, but...
in your mind, like, yeah. When you think of the choices you chose, like, yeah. Why did you choose them? Like, what stands out with those characters above other ones?
What I like, especially with the ones I mentioned, particularly Buffy, is how very real she is portrayed. She's a glorified superhero. She's got super strength. Not like, you know, Captain America necessarily, but mm-hmm. she can definitely hold her own in a fight with something much bigger and stronger than she is.
And she trained. And she didn't just get an ability.
That's another one. Yeah, she has some abilities by becoming the Slayer, but she had to train in order to, you know how to fight. It's not just inherent in her mind. So that just the fact that she actually had to work to be strong is a big thing. And also, I would say some vulnerability, not just like, you know, a character who is perfect and can do anything, but someone, you know, just like anyone else, male or female, or otherwise, someone who can, you know, be.
They just rise above. They take what they have and just like, okay, well, this is all I have to work with. I'm gonna make it work.
Absolutely. But even then, if the story calls for it and they can be emotionally compromised, they're not just going to be able to get themselves out of anything. They, they might lose.
Yeah.
So they
feel it, Buffy.
Yeah. And she has lost many, many times in that series. So that, to me, is always really cool because even when, you know, like I said, she becomes emotionally compromised or she becomes defeated, you know that is only going to make her stronger. And I would, you know, use the stereotype of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. In her case, being killed a couple times actually did make her stronger. So that doesn't always work, but... I definitely think that's something that I find very cool to see in characters who are not portrayed as, you know, ultimately perfect, who have real, unique human flaws, but still persevere despite that and sometimes even because of it.
She even had lots of character development, you know, from the beginning. I mean, do we count the movie that it's based off of?
I don't think we need to. It is neither canon nor is it very good. But, I mean, she definitely got her start in that, and you see some of her character in that film. But even then, going from season 1 to the end of season 7, she's not the same person. But she's not so radically different that it's poor writing and they're, you know, making her into this character. It was a very character-driven show, and she became, she took on different things, and she became a different, stronger, better person by the end. So a character that can go through that progressive an arc, or at least something to that extent, I think, is a sign of a really great, strong, you know, character. You know, regardless of gender, but at least in terms of what we're talking about, that's what I like to see in, you know, my female leads.
You have anything to throw in on that, Brenda?
I like them independent, self-sufficient, I like it when they make decisions even if they're wrong and they go poorly.
Yeah.
They're not perfect either.
Yep.
But
no, yeah, and I mean, it's just seeing that, like Cameron mentioned, you know, that they seem real. They seem like it's actually something that could happen. I mean, yes, we love the superpowered, amazing, can do no wrong kind of characters. But, you know, you want some sort of some way to actually relate to the character. And, I mean, when they can never fail, it's just like, oh. Then you get people like Superman, which I hate Superman. But, you know, anywho.
But you also don't want people to come back from the dead constantly, because then what's the point of dying?
Yeah, it's like, oh.
It becomes.
You die, you come back. You die, you come back. Yeah. Well, death doesn't mean anything anymore.
Nope, it's a revolving door. But if you see your hero fall and have to work and think and figure out how to get back up again, mm-hmm. that's a great story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a really really great story. And I like to see that again with any character, regardless of gender.
Yeah.
But, you know, I definitely love that with Buffy, and I've seen that, of course, with Wonder Woman and a lot of different characters as well. One of them, I would say one of the bigger ones that I kind of avoided wanting to talk about necessarily, but I think she needs to be spoken about, would be Princess Leia.
Well, yeah. I mean, super strong, independent, amazing character. Were you wanting to avoid her for any particular reason?
Just because I feel like anything that I would say has probably already been said. And just with, you know, recently losing Carrie Fisher and Star Wars, you know, being, you know, continuing to be huge, I didn't necessarily want to flog a horse to death necessarily. But we haven't really talked about Star Wars on the show.
Honorable mention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like Star Wars is probably going to get talked about a lot more in the incoming months.
Fair enough. Which, their last few movies have had some fairly strong female characters.
Yeah.
We had Rey and The Force Awakens, and then with Rogue Squadron, or Rogue One. Rogue Squadron came after that. Anywho, but yeah, with Jen Erso, I mean... Mm-hmm. Super strong, amazing female characters, and I thought about them on my list, but I went with what I really like.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like Star Wars, but
well, of course,
those are newer things that I like. I went with ones that I liked for a while, but we talked about what makes a good strong female character. What makes a bad one? Like, are there some good examples of like, oh wow, they tried to make a strong female character and they failed? I would say the new Supergirl show. That's
on
the
my
word.
List too.
That's horrible. I haven't even seen it, and I can tell how bad it is.
The first season.
Brenda, I know, has watched it. So Brenda, enlighten us on how horrible it is.
My issue with it is just a lot happens to her. She's Supergirl. She's got all of these abilities, and yet she's obsessing about her cousin, who they didn't want to, you know, put into it, so you don't really see him until later. She's got like two guys. One she's in love with, and the other's in love with her, and it's one of those love triangle jargon.
Mm-hmm.
But they get her out of scrapes. Like, she needs rescued constantly.
So the superpowered, amazing person needs help from the mundane person?
Yes. Damsel in distress needs other people's help.
That does
not
make
a strong
female character.
She needs her men to get her back and give her ideas. And
not so super for a Supergirl.
It was disappointing. It's getting better. CW's picked it up, and they're doing it. You know, they've got their other shows in line, so it is getting better. But that first season was just hard to watch, because it was just, they did not do a strong female character. And that was what that was. That's what it should have been.
I really wanted to disagree with you because I actually really like that show, but you unfortunately brought up a lot of true points for that. She does seem to get into scrapes that require her to be rescued by her goofy sidekicks.
Yeah. And it makes sense when you want to bring them in and you want them to be a part of her team too, but they did it wrong. They made them too, she was too reliant on them.
True. And it goes from her being just, you know, super strong and yet vulnerable to just almost her powers are kind of a hindrance.
Yeah.
And she relies on both her powers and her non-superpowered friends way too much. So she ends up making herself vulnerable somewhat. It still hasn't distracted me from watching the show. It's one of the few comic book series I've actually watched more than just a few episodes of. And I think she's a good actress. I think she does a good performance. And I think even though the portrayal of the character is not that great, I still think it's a better show than you've given it credit for. But I definitely respect your opinions on that.
Yeah.
I think
your opinions on the female character being a female person.
Now, something I did find interesting was when I was coming up with my list, I was trying to think of an anime that had a strong female lead, and I couldn't find one. And then I'm starting to feel like animes aren't
Sailor
good.
Sailor Moon!
Yeah,
sorry,
but she,
just
have you actually watched it?
Yeah!
Yeah, Serena.
Oh, she does.
Serena.
She's constantly getting herself in trouble. Yeah, there's the others really, she needs the other.
She's not the strongest character, but I mean,
she's
goofy.
She's always late. She
But that makes her more
has
relatable.
To push her to be anyway a decent. That helps her grow up. Mini Moon.
Yeah. Who's Mini Moon? I'm very much
spoilers?
A her daughter
her
from
daughter,
the future.
Her daughter from the future.
Okay.
The time
who
back.
Like tortures her what? When yeah. she first comes back, and then loves on her dad all the time, which is real creepy.
Okay, again, not really a strong character, but I'm surprised you didn't bring up Excel Saga. Excel.
Yeah, but they're not.
She's
strong.
Not. She's not strong, but it is. She is the lead female character, and she does all sorts of craziness. And I mean, I think she's a super strong character, and she does all sorts of stuff. But she does her own thing.
She did. They're not. I mean, I guess I was thinking of.
Are you thinking more like superhero type? Oh yeah, we're up. We're good.
Like
we're
you've got
whatever.
Inuyasha, Kagome.
Which she's a strong female character.
She grows
and she's one of the main
stronger,
ones.
But
yeah.
she's completely reliant on Inuyasha.
Now, oh, I
Sango,
guess at the beginning one. Yeah.
Sango's strong. Then I was thinking of Cody's Naruto. You've got or Naruto. Sakura.
But
oh,
she's
she is.
No, she's not a strong female
she is
character.
Not. She's constantly about the guys, and they're much stronger and better than her.
She's always worrying if she's going to be able to do anything.
I just couldn't
I wouldn't have even thought of her.
I couldn't think of a good anime. I mean, I guess maybe Ghost in the Shell, which unfortunately I didn't get into.
Well, yeah, the major's amazing.
But she's also like an android, right?
Yeah, but she's a female. I mean, it's her brain inside the robot. I mean, half the people are like cyber-enhanced people.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, though, I'm like, a lot of the animes, they don't do...
They do focus a lot on the men. But
and they
in general
women...
Japanese culture, I mean, the men
even
are
the strong
better.
Women are... They have meek sides to them. They have...
I mean, I can think of a show that shows really strong some female characters, but we're not going to go into them because that's not an appropriate show to talk about. Anywho. But, Queensley? No. Okay. Anywho.
But that was one of the... I thought that was an interesting thing.
I'm surprised you didn't think about, like... I guess Lucy's not really insanely strong. She does rely... Well, she mostly relies on her own powers, though, for...
And sometimes you run into ones, too.
And Urza from... I guess I should say the name of the show.
Fairy Tale. What's
Fairy Tale? Okay. Sorry. Sorry, Cameron.
But the main characters are Lucy and Natsu.
Yeah.
And Lucy, she is working her way there, is still pretty damsel-y.
But a lot of the stuff that she relies on still is her own powers. She summons her own familiars, basically, and they're what basically save her. So it's still her own powers that are saving herself.
Yeah.
And then Urza's like a super strong character.
Yeah, Urza is. But main character... I was looking for that.
I'd still
I feel
say
like
she's one of the main
sides.
Characters. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they are, but that's just like Gray. But it was just something I noticed was that a lot of animes just don't.
Yeah, they don't focus on the female being the main lead character that's super strong and everything. They always have, because shoot, even like the one of the newer ones, the My Hero Academia, I mean, it's a little whiny little brat kid, but he's a boy that's in charge. I mean, he's got girl sidekicks, and there's characters in the show that are way stronger than him that are female, but they're not lead characters.
A lot of the harem anime seem to be kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's probably the harems or the reverse.
Either way. They're still generally focused on the guys.
But you do run into, too, a lot with main characters. The problem that they make a mistake on with strong female characters is putting them in a strong plot that just leads them, but they're not strong.
Yeah,
they kind of get tugged along the way through the story.
But, I mean, they're developing as a character, though. I mean, and that kind of makes them strong. I mean, seeing, like, how they overcome what they have to overcome to become who they are.
It can. But I think a lot of them still just, it's kind of writing it out. Where, you would end up, you know, a little bit stronger, a little bit more independent. But they didn't actually, the one I'm talking about, like, bad, is when they don't even actually take the steps. It just kind of gets forced upon them of, this is just kind of happening to you now, and then you become this, you're strong because it happened.
Yeah.
And the story goes where it is because of the plot, and because it needs to, instead of being more character-driven. And
Yeah. Unlike Buffy, which is more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Character-driven.
Definitely. That makes sense.
So did you guys have some other bad examples?
I mean, my initial thought was the Jessica Jones show, because I think she's done justice in comics and other stuff. I did not care for the TV show. I did not think that actress portrayed it well. I don't think the story was written that great. Like, I loved the Purple Man, and I loved all the stuff that he did in it, and like
David
that acting was great. But like, that was a hard show for me to watch. Like, it was hard to get through. It was not, like, I mean, she's even super strong, and, you know, she's pretty much a strong-willed character, but it just didn't seem like it was that great. It just, it lacked anything that really made me want to care for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, because you didn't like the story, or it was just like a mixture.
Because like I thought her friend was a better, like, strong female character than she was.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was basically Hellcat. I'm trying to remember actually her name.
Trisha Walker?
Yeah. Yeah. She was, like, portrayed more as a strong female character than Jessica Jones.
Hmm.
And I'm like, that's just kind of stupid. Because, I mean, the show's about her.
Right.
But it just, I don't know.
Fair.
Do you have any examples, Cameron?
I would say, to actually go with the anime example, the thing that I hate when it comes to the lead characters is when they're very... when they have so many different aspects of their personality, but it's not balanced.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, I haven't seen a lot of it, but I have seen some Sailor Moon, and I definitely get that she's kind of a likable character, but she's also really ditzy to the point of annoying.
She's spaz.
And I've only seen the dubbed version, like, from the 90s, and I kind of hate her.
Her voice is terrible.
Her voice is really bad.
They change voice actresses like three times in like the first couple episodes.
I hope so.
If you want to hear a horrible voice
on a female...
Oh, no, it
ends up on a bad one for a while.
Oh, gosh.
If you want to hear a horrible, like, dub
mm-hmm.
of a female actress, you should listen to or see any sections of the Excel Saga. Like, her voice is... like, if you want to, like, stab yourself in the ears, listen to Excel talk.
Don't you own Excel Saga?
I do, but I like that because it's messed up and I'm crazy. We've already established this numerous times.
We have indeed. As well, I will definitely give that a shot next time I want to stab myself in the ears. The other example I have, and this is... I'm conflicted because I really like the show and I really like the character, Chrono Crusade.
Mm, that is a good show.
The lead character, Rosette, she's super strong, super cool. And she's a kick butt demon fighter. Show takes place in the 20s, I think. And she has a demon psychic named Chrono, and they fight monsters. And she's really cool, but she will fluctuate between like super stoic and strong to whiny and codependent on her sidekick.
Yeah.
Which they have a bond, so they are kind of codependent, but at the same time, like, she'll get so
swept
up. She's
more dependent on him than he is on her, though.
A little bit. And she's, I mean, they're both the main characters, but it's very much driven. She drives the show.
Yeah.
And it's just weird that she'll go from, like, super strong to just whiny and doesn't want to do anything and doesn't want to fight and just... It would be okay if there was more of a balance, more of a gray area, yeah. But it's so very stark. It goes from black to white very easily with the character. So that's what I can't stand, is when they want to have, you know, a character be a certain way, but they don't earn it and they don't balance it. They just have like two completely separate aspects of their personality that they fluctuate between. So I see that a lot. In anime and
extreme bipolar,
a little bit. So that's what I don't. There you go. That's the kind of thing I don't like to see. It's, and again, that's with characters in general, but I see it a lot with sort of lead females, particularly in anime and even in actually comics as well. It's very annoying.
I think sometimes they go for the comedic effect, and instead it kind of just goes towards annoying. Yeah, why is this character so loud, obnoxious, and not really that lovable.
Right. And if you've established a character and then you go complete departure and it doesn't stay true to that character, it makes me wonder if it was really, you know, what was
that
the point
a fluke?
Of it was, really,
was that just, is this how they really are?
If that was necessary for the plot and you don't really care about staying true to that character.
Okay. So we've talked about what makes a good one. We've talked about what makes a bad female lead character. Now, we do have a few movies coming up that are going to have some strong female leads. We've already discussed mm-hmm. Wonder Woman a bit, but there's another one, the Captain Marvel.
Yes, indeed.
So, what are thoughts on that?
I am super excited for it. I have been a fan of the character of Carol Danvers since she was Miss Marvel. Actually, since I was introduced to her in the 90s X-Men series, which I don't think we can go an episode without mentioning.
It's possible. Inception. I mean, I don't know.
Eh, we'll keep doing it.
Might as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I always talk about how I hate DC and Superman.
That is true. And violence.
And violence. I love violence.
Captain Marvel, I'm definitely excited for. I think I haven't seen Brie Larson in a lot of stuff, but I definitely
I'm not familiar with who's playing as her or anything like that.
She won the Oscar last year, and she definitely has the chops to do it. I think she'd do a really good job with the role. I just hope they write it well and they write her well, because this is going to be Marvel's first superhero film with a female lead. So it's
It doesn't as like a sidekick or not as part of a team. Because I mean, not the Black Widow's awesome, but she was part of the team and she's not the forefront person in those movies, so.
Right.
And then you threw in Scarlet Witch, which was another just kind of side character in the movies and stuff.
Yeah.
But having her as an actual lead will be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about Captain Marvel. I mean, I've seen her in some random cartoons, and I've looked at a few of the comics, but I've never really read them much. But from what I've been told of what they're thinking about for the movie, sounds kind of cool. I mean, haven't heard a lot just because I don't think there's a ton out there yet on it. But do we know when that one's supposed to be coming out? Is it this year, next year?
Don't do dates.
I was going to say the dates, but knowing what year, that's a different thing. Cameron looks that up. Brenda, do you have any thoughts on this? I mean, has Cody like brainwashed you one way or the other?
No, I mean, he's probably mentioned some stuff. I get kind of lost in all of the different Marvel characters.
Fair enough.
I'm not actually that familiar even with Squirrel Girl, but I hear she's got the powers of a squirrel.
Can talk to squirrels, and I mean, she has some like squirrel-like abilities, I guess.
She has the powers of both squirrel and girl.
Yeah,
which that's a lot of powers, right there.
She can put a lot of nuts.
But she can. She can. Let's not go there. Let's not go there. But
acorns.
Yeah, there you go. Then, but she can summon squirrels to come help her.
That's helpful.
Yeah, because squirrels are amazing. And I mean, an army of squirrels are going to take over the world someday, so why not be able to control them? Ignore that last part. Go with it.
No, that's interesting. I hope that doesn't come to fruition, but
I wrote a story about that in like high school. That's the only reason I brought that out. I was just being stupid. Anywho,
You should find
that. You say that as you pet one of our cats and go, future overlord.
You should.
Hey, that could be a possibility, and that cat would eat me if she ever became like a giant humanoid cat thing, like in the book that I read. Anywho,
Honey, you should find that story and write dialogue for it, and we can record a live reading of your story for an episode.
I'm sure that would be horrible.
It would be. We should do it.
/ wonderful.
I don't think there's any / wonderful.
Captain Marvel, the movie comes out in 2019.
2019?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
She is forever. She is, since she was, they cast her, I think, last year, she's going to be in Avengers Infinity War.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
We will get our first.
At least get to see her.
Yeah. We'll be introduced to Captain Marvel next year, and then she'll get her solo film. Which, if they just do a little bit of her origin in Avengers next year, we can skip the origin story and we can have a full-on Captain Marvel movie, which I think would be really great, as opposed to another origin story.
Yeah.
Because we've had quite a few of those, so a departure from that I think would be pretty cool.
I think, too, that they might be getting to that because a lot of the origin stories, they have these romances, and now they're all kind of trickling apart. Because they can't keep the actresses around.
True.
And so it's kind of been a little, I'm excited for Thor Ragnarok. But with Natalie Portman not.
Yeah.
It's kind of, just kind of a weird, kind of a sad.
Fair. And actually, she's another example of someone who has been portrayed as a good female lead and a bad one. I think the first one, she was really good. I liked her character a lot. She had some fun chemistry with Thor. And then the second one, Thor the Dark World.
It just...
Yeah, it was all about their love story, which I never... Like, I believed that they, you know, had a strong attraction to each other in the first film.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it the second time around.
Yeah.
And she also took a lot of attention away from Loki, who I think should have been a bigger part of the film. And, you know, that's another example of when... I am not going to... I'm not going to disagree with you there either. He's a handsome man. But, I just think that that's one example where she was portrayed really well in one instance.
Yeah.
And not so well in the next. So.
Odd character development.
A little bit. And again, more to do with the story as opposed to having it be more of a character-driven arc, feeling organic and, you know, natural progression of where their story would go.
Yeah, I just don't like these shows keep breaking up the couples, and it's kind of like, oh, well, what's the Pepper Potts? That was strong. Mm-hmm. No. Then you've got...
I don't think I ever pay attention to their relationships, because it doesn't matter for the story, in my opinion.
For me, it makes the past story, all their fighting for each other, kind of become pointless or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, sure.
Like, I was deeply saddened with the new Star Wars movie that Hans and Leia had not been together for years.
Yeah.
That was very, you know, we left it on such a...
I mean, I've never been a huge fan of Han Solo, so that didn't bother me.
But it was all about their relationship, yeah, and they grew together, and big character development, and then...
Traumatic events.
Yeah.
They separate. They do whatever. They run into each other. Bad things happen.
That was pretty heartbreaking, not gonna lie.
Okay, so do we have any other final thoughts on female characters?
I don't know. I'm depressed now.
Thinking about that.
Yeah, thinking about Han and Leia. I've been on this huge Star Wars kick lately because I'm, you know, that's usually the kick that I'm on when I'm awake. But now I'm
speaking of strong females and Star Wars. Did you see the trailer for the new Star Wars?
You're talking.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Are you talking Last Jedi?
The teaser?
Yeah.
I have, and I think it's pretty fantastic.
I think it looks awesome. And I mean, hey, it's got Rey. She's a strong
female
character.
It does have Rey. I think so. Yeah, that's part of why I think part of why I avoided Leia is because I feel like we could almost do an entire episode just on her and even on some of those characters.
Oh yeah, well I mean if we just did like a Star Wars episode in general, yeah, we could go on for hours easily.
Probably too.
Probably.
Yep. Which we could. Yeah. We could easily do that.
Which we might do.
But
who
not
knows?
Today.
Yeah, not today. We're running close to being out of time anyway.
So that is it for this week. If you want to hit us up, again, we are on the Twitter at Nerddump Podcast. Let us know what you think of this one. If you agree with our choices, if you disagree, if there's anything that we didn't touch upon that you would like to have heard more of, let us know.
Or list your favorite strong female lead.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us who you guys like for strong female leads. And if you're like, oh, hey, there's totally an anime with a strong female lead, tell us, because obviously we don't know.
Yep.
I'm curious.
But you can not only find us at the Nerd Dumps Twitter, you can find me at Viking Honey.
I am at Cameron Kiefer. And Brenda, where can they find you?
Can they find you?
I don't want them to. I'm nobody. So find my husband. I believe he's at the Cody Whack.
He is at the Cody Whack.
And that is at the Cody Whack right now. And it's K-O-D-Y-W-A-K.
I think just it's B too at the beginning.
Well, yeah, there's B, but knowing how to spell Cody, because it's Cody with a K, and that's why it's Whack.
It's the better spelling.
So if you don't have Twitter, we are on, you can like us on Facebook, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and what is that other one? We also have a website.
Nerddump.com. That would be another one. And that has all our previous podcasts and random other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we've got some exclusive content on there. Not a lot, but, you know, we're getting started.
You can watch the first six minutes of our first episode animated on there that Cody happened to animate. It's wonderful. You're going to see me topless. I don't know if that's an incentive or not, but hey, it's there. But that's all for us this week. We'll see you again. Have fun, stay safe, and know I'm watching you.
Have a good week.
This has been a Nerddump production.